Do you know him that ever liveth? Grateful this morning for this privilege, Sunday to Sunday. Pray for us as we come in his name, in the name of the Lord, with the Bible. We're living in crucial times. People do not believe the Word of God. First of all, I believe a great part of unbelief is because of ignorance. Talking with a Sunday school teacher this week, and I began to point him to some scripture, riled him up just a little bit, but he soon calmed down. I said, now, wait a minute, friend. I said, I'm not a fanatic. Neither am I a fool. Not any bigger than some of them. Anyway, I just want to tell you some of what God says. So he listened, and the next day he said to me, he said, I've come to this conclusion that very few of us know very little of what God has to say. I said, amen, that's the truth. Go home, get your Bible, start studying it before you start arguing with somebody. And I believe he's interested in knowing the truth. Now, may come to know the law. Been teaching Sunday school and working in church a long time. Yes, sir. Do you know him? Do you know Christ? I'm sorry for you if you don't know the Lord. Oh, how pretty you are, sister. Don't care how handsome you are. A young man, old man, middle-aged, bachelor, rich, poor, makes no difference. You don't know Christ. You're out of the race. You're not in the race. You're on the sideline, the broad road, on the way to hell. That's pitiful, but that's the case of most of the people today that's on the face of the earth, in the churches and in the lodges, and out of the churches and everywhere else. In jail and out of jail, most of them's on the road to hell. Pitiful state. I'm sorry for it. God's trying to speak to you, but you just don't have time to listen. You gotta go. I gotta go. That's what everybody says. Say, I must go. They go in here, yonder and there. But whether they get to their destination or not, they will reach hell out yonder sometime. They will do that. Last Sunday morning, we began a series of messages from the subject, the road to repentance. Now we learn from God's word that God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. Likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ had this to say to us. He said, except a man repent, he shall perish. So you see, there's something on your part. We preach you the sovereign grace of the sovereign God that saves whom he pleases, when he pleases, and how he pleases, and lets those bypasses who he pleases, when he pleases, and lets them go to hell when he sees fit. That's the gospel that J.L. Dunn endeavors to bring to you. Nevertheless, God has laid a responsibility upon you that you'll not be able to shirk when you stand before the judgment of Almighty God. Would to God I could get that over to you this morning, and I've asked God to take the Holy Spirit and thrust it into your heart that it might spare you, that you began to think about your condition and your eternal abode. So therefore, we're coming again this morning, picking up where we left off in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when the apostle that was empowered by the Holy Ghost, his name was Peter, he stood and preached. The men began to cry and say, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? That's a good question, isn't it? What shall we do? Everybody today, what can I do to make money? What can I do for the profit in this life, for the increase of my possessions and such like? But my friend, the needed question in your heart today is, what shall I do when I'm under Holy Spirit conviction or I've heard the Word of God? The answer was, repent, be baptized, and thou shalt receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a lot of people that are real religious today, and they have a spirit. But I don't believe that you can compare the spirit that possessed the many of them with the spirit that possessed our blessed Lord and the saints found in the book, and some that are walking today. I'm not able to do it. Don't believe you can either, because they're nasty spirits when you cross their path. I'll never forget when God crossed my path, that same revival meeting that week, that God brought this to my soul and it became a reality. Some got stinking mad. They're still mad at the preacher that was there. They're still mad at me. They still have harsh things to say. They still do not lie. Nevertheless, there were several that bowed before God and pled their case in the name of Christ, and today they're rejoicing in the Son of God, then in whom they live and move and have their being, in whom they're hid in God with. Brother Ted, praise God, Christ is real. He's nothing, he's not someone to think upon, but he's real. He lives within the regenerated, born again, signed and sealed children of God. There's nothing named signed in the book of life and the soul seal of the Holy Spirit on the way to the city of God. Let's shout a little bit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good to my soul. That's good. Yes, it is. Coming now to speak these few minutes, I hope you have your Bible as we read again the Word of God. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 29, Jesus stood to preach. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is come. God hath manifest himself in the flesh, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it doesn't strain my capacity to think or imagine one bit. When I hear the Word of God preached, I'm satisfied then that that's all God intended to do, was to have the Word of God preached and to speak to men's hearts with the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not bringing any more signs to pass. He's not bringing any new ones to the front line to do any miraculous healing or raising of the dead, or changing any of the geographical layout of the world, or changing any of the seasons or anything like that. No, God said, "I've done, closed the book now." In due time, God sent his Son. When the time was full, God sent his Son. Christ came, and now he's sending men, born again, twice born men, called of God, sent forth with an unction from heaven, and they know where they're standing on the Word of God, Ted. They don't have to wonder, worry, or fret about that. They don't have to run here, yonder, and ask somebody, praise God, are they doing what's right? They have the Heavenly Father, praise God, to tell them. Jesus said, "I do always the things my Heavenly Father has told me." Now, we're not the Lord Jesus Christ, don't misunderstand. No preacher can stand anywhere in the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we try by God's grace in prayer and study of the Word to do what he tells us to do when we're preaching concerning the salvation of your soul, the gospel of grace, of God's good news. Yes, sir, we try to do that. We've never, but praise God, I can say the truth, we just never have tried to bring anybody to any profession of faith or decision in Christ so it looked big on our part to help us out in the ministry. No, sir, we're expecting to suffer rather than to be a celebrity. We're expecting to be persecuted rather than praised and treated well. Yes, sir, we certainly are. We certainly are. He said, they repented at the preaching of Jonah, They came and heard Solomon in his wisdom or knowledge or revelation of God, and there they repented. And these messengers shall stand, and their converts shall stand in the judgment and condemn this generation. What generation? Condemn you and I if we're not in Christ Jesus the Lord. You stand before the court to hear the judge. He waits for the jury to come in. They come in and say, guilty. He rises and says, death. That's for certain, isn't it? That's always expected in a court. Well, the court of heaven convened and declared the whole world lieth in wickedness. Declared that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Declared that the wages of sin is death. And therefore, you and I outside of Christ, which is the life of man, the life of the soul, outside of Him, we're perishing, we're doomed, we're condemned, and on the road at a rapid rate to the regions of the damned. Listen, sinner. Listen, sinner. You're condemned this morning. I don't care where you are. You may be shaving now, going to church, but you're a sinner. You may be eating now, and you're thinking about going to church. You wouldn't go, but you just have to go. You feel obligated to take the children. Sinner, you need Christ. You don't need that church. You need Christ. Then that church might prove a blessing to you. You need Christ. At the preaching of God's Word, I believe that there's a conviction. Now, I'm going this morning by God's grace to read, privilege to read something this morning that I hope you'll find a blessing to your heart. Maybe in the days to come, but we'll let it be then. In the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, we find the law, the commandments, the fifth Mosaic covenant. And before we read, let me say that Jesus said, I come not to destroy, but to fulfill the law. So therefore the law was still effective after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, chapter 7, and verse 7, we find these words. I hope you have your Bible there. What saith? What shall we say then? This is Paul writing to the people in Rome. Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. The law was still in effect. In Galatians 3:24, Paul writing again, he had this to say of the law. Now, whether it'll have any bearing on you, I'll leave that in the wisdom of God. But in Galatians 3:24, the Apostle Paul says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You say, preacher, why involve the law? Until you take your seat as a transgressor, as a lawbreaker, as a God lawbreaker, can there take your seat as a condemned and justly so sinner and plead your case in Christ Jesus, you'll die in your sins and go to hell. I don't care how many good works you've done, how many times you went into the water of a dry sinner and been baptized and came out a wet sinner, how many catechisms you've learned, how many communion services you've partaken, or any other ordinances or practices of any religious body, they have no power, there's no grace, no virtue in any activity in any religion. Your case rests squarely in the hands of a sovereign God and a crucified Christ. God bless your heart, beloved. That's the gospel. There's where your case rests. Now we're going back to the law, trying, believing that God has purposed, yes, He has, the Noah has, to take the law and break us from under many the false gods, their homemade gods, their self-imagined gods, just like this Christmas Brother Ted was talking about a little bit ago. The statistics and the published and mailed it throughout the world, and they must be all right or somebody would rise, and because you can't use the United States mail, you're wrong or illegal. Things that go through the mail are supposed to be up and above board, but they're published and mailed, and I have them in black and white, that less than 50% of the ministers today believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born, but the great percentage of them today are leading their people to this paganistic, heathen, idolatrous worship service at this season. Ted, that's the truth. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born. They don't believe that He was buried and raised again. And many of them scoff and say it doesn't take the blood to cleanse from sin. It's my responsibility. I can do it myself. And others believe that He does not intend to come back and never will return. Never will be seen bodily anymore and such like. Don't believe it. Yet they lead these poor, blind, lost religionists in Christmas worship services and practices and Easter Lent and all these other days that I don't find in my Bible. Thank you, Lord, for that. That came in pretty good right there. I don't know how you liked it listening in radio land, but it fit pretty good. I believe God has purpose to take the law, break asunder your false God. Now you listen. Verse 1 of Exodus 20. I'm going to read a lot of scripture here. Yeah, the Word of God is able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Word of God is able to save thy soul, the writer, Apostle Paul, wrote. So we ought to study the Word. We ought to find out what the Word says. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, not any busts of Mary, or not any statues of Mary, or any busts of any of the saints and hang them around and go bow and pray before them and such like. God forbid. The Bible says don't do it. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. God said it. Preacher Dunn didn't do it. I'm reading God's Word. Sit down, sinner. Behave there now and listen. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Are you listening? And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Listen, blasphemer. Listen, blasphemer that fluently and disgracefully and blasphemously and shamefully uses the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, you've got a judgment to face. Listen, sinner. You got a judgment to face. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy servant, manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, you disobedient, disrespectful, ungrateful teenagers today, that spit in mom's and dad's face and fret them because of your ungodly doing. Listen, young man! You are facing a God one day that's a jealous God and commanded you not to do that. You'll say, I'm not a Christian. I don't have to do this. God bless your heart. This is the commandment of Almighty God. This is the responsibility that rests upon every sinner's shoulder that ever came from the womb of a woman. Yes. Thou shalt not do it. Thou shalt do it. The shalt nots and the shalls rest upon you, sinner. Because this can never lay hold upon you. If this never lays hold upon you, then it's your responsibility. You'll never come to Christ for salvation because you'll go on to hell blinded. Once you see you're responsible and cannot do it, then you seek someone that can. And Jesus filled the law full, and it run over to every sinner that'll ever come to him. Yes, sir, he did. Yes, he did. Praise the Lord's name. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, blessed Lord. For in 6 days he made, I believe we read that one. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. No wonder our graves are filled with teenagers that their brains are bashed out on the highway. Most of them, or a great number of them, are disobedient to parents. Mother told them and asked them to stay at home or go somewhere and behave themselves. And they out gallivanting and honky-tonking and big-timing, praise God. And in the twinkle of an eye, God sends them to hell as a reward for the rebellion against His commandment. You can't play with God. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Just don't stop there with your adultery. Don't stop there with your adultery. Yes, I believe I'll pause just a little bit there. John the Baptist said, oh, boy, I said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. I don't give a hoot what God said. I'm going to have her anyhow. To hell with the preacher of God. Cut his head off. I'll not listen to him. Later on, when the Son of God began to stroll the streets, he said he was still haunted for his wickedness. He said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead. God bless your heart. That tells me that one time you raise your ungodly will against God and God's man, somewhere you wake up to the fact that you sin. Somewhere, or let me say all the time, you'll be haunted wherever God is present. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And one out of every three marriages today is winding up in the divorce courts. And the preaching of the gospel is not responsible for that. The preaching and teaching of God's word is not responsible for the divorces. The lust and the passion and pride that possesses this ungodly generation that rejects truth and rebels in a lie, than those that divorce, remarry. Two, three wives. Not everywhere you turn, if you aren't careful, your first face will turn red because you said something you shouldn't have said. Or maybe you should have said it. You'll be talking, and there'll be somebody that has the second or third wife. Embarrassing at times. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. God said, no adulterer or adulteress would inherit the kingdom of God. That's the reason he said it. You can't go there. You'll have to be sent to hell. God will have to send you to hell. Thou shalt not steal. That cuts us all down. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother. I think that cuts us all down. My God, if it wasn't for Christ, I know a God would have to send me to hell. Yes, he would. He'd have it to do. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now you listen. All the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, for what? That ye sin not. Now what God said, he's commanded everywhere, everyone to repent of his sins. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says, shall we continue in sin? He comes back with the word, answer, God forbid. God forbid. Moses said, now God has spoken to you for a purpose. And that is that you would have before you the fear of Almighty God, that ye sin not. The reason people can sin in the face of all the preaching today and all the religious activity they can go on sinning is because they have no fear of God. They do not believe that God is a jealous God. They do not believe that God is going to punish sin. They believe because of their fair speeches and their good works and their faithfulness to a religion that God will have to spread the carpet, the welcome carpet down, and escort them by the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles and some others. Have to escort them up to the throne and he'll bow down to them and receive them. Not so. Not so. God is warning this people. God has been warning down through the ages. God has said, have fear that you sin not. In the third chapter book of Romans, as we look the condition of man over, God says there's no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 18, chapter 3. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we break God's law continually with no fear of a just judgment by a sin-avenging God. And do we do it? Amen. We do. And we wonder why we're in this mess today. We wonder why. I wonder why God is sparing America. Oh, sinner, God said in Malachi 3 and 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, sir, is there any ounce, if there is an ounce of conviction in your soul today, seek the place of repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall perish. This is the road to repentance. God's law breaking you down and leading you to Christ. May God have mercy upon your soul until we're able to come face to face again next Lord's Day. I pray for you in the name of Christ. Amen.